Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab. Adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. So between 2009 and 2010, almost $500,000 in government nutrition coupons were redeemed at one of the 60 farmers markets in New York City. The popularity of farmers markets in city neighborhoods is clear, but a recent report from the office of Manhattan Borough President Scott Stringer identifies significant barriers to entry for potential markets, especially in inner city neighborhoods. Borough President Stringer is with me now, along with Karen Washington, who operates La Familia Verde Market in the Bronx. Borough President and Karen Washington, welcome back to WNYC.
Good to be here, Brian.
Hi.
Borough President, can you first give me an overview of the farmers markets in New York City, or just Manhattan, if that's all you've got to beat on? How many are there? Who did you interview for your report?
Well, farmers markets are basically created from our neighborhoods. So they're spread out throughout New York City in some of our most economically challenged communities. But they're a vital link in terms of the food chain and the ability of the city to bring healthy produce into communities. And our report basically focused on some real challenges for people who want to start farmers markets in their local neighborhoods, the challenges they have dealing with the city bureaucracy. And we identified different agencies and different kinds of permits that farmers markets need in order to operate. So, for example, while a $15 fee may not sound so oppressive, when you think about all the money that you have to pay up front to locate a farmer's market, and then you realize you have to go to the Parks Department, the Department of Transportation, so on and so forth. We've identified people who, even when they get all their permits, pay all their money up front, along comes NYPD, and the farmers gets ticketed, and people are told to move. And as a result, a lot of farmers don't want to come to economically challenged communities because of the bureaucracy. So we laid out, I think, a very concrete agenda for change.
A few basic stats. Within the five boroughs, there are 28 different operators of community-based farmers markets running a total of 60 markets. And your report says that 73% of those markets operate in what the federal government defines as low-income areas. Now, this would seem like a healthy number if 73% are in the low-income neighborhoods of New York City, and yet you still see particular obstacles for markets there in the low-income areas. And the background here, of course, is that this is so important because those areas tend to be underserved by supermarkets with healthy produce.
We have close to 1 million New Yorkers living in what's called food deserts. And it's not food deserts, food deserts, where people don't have access to healthy produce. And the city has some wonderful programs like Grow NYC and other green market programs that go basically to high-end neighborhoods or heavily trafficked communities where they then kick back 10%, and I mean kick back in a good way, to the city coffers. Farmers markets to me, and I know Karen is on the front lines of this and she'll be able to tell you more, but farmers markets to me are really our best hope of sort of navigating healthy produce in communities that ordinarily would not have that supermarket or that kind of economic investment. So the farmers markets are really started by neighborhood people. And just to think about some of the issues here, when we mentioned the $15 fee, though that's not expensive, the cost of the entire season sometimes has to be paid up front on top of liability insurance, which is $560. So we identified thousands of dollars in upfront costs for local community people who want to create a farmer's market. They have to pay up front because they don't have a bank loan and other financing.
We have a few minutes for phone calls on this. Listeners, do you buy your groceries or any of them from one of the city's 60 farmers markets? Or perhaps you want one in your neighborhood. Anyone aware of an attempt to set up a farmers market in your neighborhood that failed? Or maybe you operate a farmers market or sell your products there. What has your experience been? Maybe you set up a radio with WNYC right next to the, you know, the winter squash. Give us a call, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or post a comment or question on our webpage at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. So, Karen Washington, a lot of people in this field know you. You started a community garden in the 80s, the Garden of Happiness. We've spoken about this before. And later started the Community Garden Coalition, La Familia Verde, which operates its own farmers market. Now you work with upstate farmers in your market as well. What kind of response did you get when you proposed hosting them in the Bronx?
Well, the first response I got was, farmers don't want to come into your neighborhood because, number one, it's too far. Secondly, farmers don't want to come into your neighborhood because it's dangerous, the South Bronx and Harlem and Brooklyn. Farmers don't want to come to your neighborhood because, you know, poor people really can't spend a lot of money on good food. So I took number one. So it's too far to come to the Bronx or Manhattan. Well, I said to them, you have to get through the Bronx and Manhattan to get down to 14th Street, Union Square, number one. Number two, it's too dangerous to have a farmer's market in the Bronx or in Harlem or in Brooklyn. Well, those are the neighborhoods that are being gentrified. Number three, poor people don't want to buy or can't afford good produce. I say, well, you know what? Poor people spend more money than any other ethnic group in terms of food. So I just threw that out the window and got together with Community Gardens. Since we know we grow it, let's form our own farmers market. So we went ahead. We got the help of Just Food. We went to our community board, Community Board 6, went to the Parks Department, got support from our local politician, Joe Rivera, the councilman. Mm-hmm. And 8 years ago, we started a farmers market and, in fact, have four farmers who have been superb and very supportive. Four farmers, one from Long Island, the other three are from upstate New York, and they have been with us for this year will be our eighth year.
All right. So is there a lesson in that for other neighborhoods in the city that may be experiencing similar barriers or perceived barriers?
Right now there is a growing need for farmers market. Right now the importance is making the connection with both rural and urban farmers and consumers. Right now, it's critical times. People are out of work. People are unhealthy. And if you have an interest and if you have a group of people, I would say go ahead and start a farmer's market. You can really get in touch with Grow NYC. They do the green markets. You can get in touch with Just Food that does the community-based farmer's market.
You mean if you have a group of people in a neighborhood who want to be able to buy from a farmer's market, you can approach them and they'll approach farmers to possibly locate in your neighborhood?
If you get in touch with Grow NYC, if you get in touch with Just Food, they will be there to help you start a farmer's market, especially in neighborhoods where they don't have supermarkets, mm-hmm. where there's more fast food restaurants than there are healthy foods. There are organizations out there that will definitely help you get start a farmer's market.
Now, interestingly, Borough President, we have a few people calling from Washington Heights saying there was a failed attempt to put a farmer's market in that neighborhood. Let's talk to Mark. Mark, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hey, Brian.
What happened? Where?
Okay, at Bennett Park, which is between Pinehurst and Fort Washington Avenues, in an upper middle class, largely white enclave of Washington Heights, there was an attempt to set up a farmer's market that was voted down by Community Board 12 after very heavy lobbying by neighborhood people who I believe did not want the largely Dominican population that represents the majority of the neighborhood coming up the hill to go to the park on the prescribed day. Now, Scott, I know you know where this is, and I just wanted the background on why CB12 voted it down.
Well, I think that CB12, and in discussion with the community, obviously arrived at their conclusion. I don't necessarily agree with that conclusion, but I think it points to how much work we have to do in all our communities to sort of convince naysayers that a farmer's market is actually something that enhances neighborhoods, bring communities of different backgrounds together, And I will work with you and others to see what we can do, especially in northern Manhattan and Washington Heights. You know, I have started a great organization over the last couple of years called Go Green Washington Heights, where we're working on a number of these issues and initiatives. We just had a textile recycling program at the local Y on Nagel Avenue. So I'm happy to work with you on this issue.
Mark, thank you for your call. And Lucille in the Bronx, you're on WNYC in Soundview. Hi, Lucille.
Hi, it's Lucy Aponte. And the reason I call is because I have been trying to get a farmer's market here in Soundview at Soundview Park. I do arts and cultural programming there, and I've been wanting a farmer's market. And some people came and took photographs of the area and thought it was a great location, large enough to have farmers and vendors there. And then nothing further happened. And it's been a bit frustrating, but I'm still trying for it and still advocating for having a farmer's market here.
Karen Washington, do you have any advice for Lucille?
Yes, definitely. I know that area very, very well. As a matter of fact, though, I've been speaking to people in that neighborhood because definitely, it definitely needs a farmer's market.
Uh-huh.
And so I would tell you to really contact Grow NYC.
Okay.
Mike Horowitz is the director of the farmers market program.
Uh-huh.
And if you have enough residents, and I know you do because, like I said, I've been in that area, talk to him. Right now, there are a list of farmers that really want to get into farmers markets. Talk to him, and definitely I think it's a go for that because I've been in that area. It definitely needs mm-hmm. it, and I know people want the farmers market there.
Yes, I know they do, and I've been told the same thing that you said, that, oh, poor people don't want that kind
mm-hmm.
of food. And I go elsewhere to get what I want. And I live in Soundview.
Let me tell you, if I had enough of my time, I would definitely be out there. But it's very important, like you said, it's very important that low-income neighborhoods, people of color, have a right. Food
yes.
is a right, not a privilege. And
right.
I think that it just goes to show you the need of farmers market. People want to eat healthy.
Hey, uh-huh. Lucille and Karen, let me throw you both the curveball because there's another issue that's a separate issue, but it's also being debated at the same time. If one of the goals of farmers markets is to bring quality, affordable produce to low-income New York neighborhoods, some people argue, why not let Walmart, which wants to do that in New York City and on a much larger scale than a twice-a-week farmer's market, come in and do that because that's one of the services they would provide. Do either of you have an opinion about that?
Definitely I have an opinion because I think with the farmer's markets that we started, it really has to do with in terms of community input.
Mm-hmm.
And community control. And I think that right now you have the resources. Right now you have upstate farmers. You have community gardeners and urban farmers that want to farm farmers market. You have community-based organizations who will be in assisting to see that fresh, locally grown produce is in our neighborhoods. And so it needs to start with that. Another thing that I like to put out is that, you know, call us food deserts. I don't like that expression because you can still grow food in the deserts. That's number one.
Uh-huh.
Number two, the fact is that money wants to be dumped into Walmart, Whole Foods in our neighborhood. We also have bodegas. And I think that a lot of the information is not going down to bodegas. Bodegas need information. They need help. They need knowledge. One thing I would say about bodegas is a lot of people say, okay, they don't have fresh produce. Good. Educate them. Educate them around storage, refrigeration. That's number one. Number two, one thing about a bodega is a community sort of operation. You can go into a bodega and get credit. If you don't have money, you know, sometimes you can go and get credit. You can go into a Walmart or Whole Foods and get credit. So I think that it needs to start from the ground up, community buy-in, community support.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, like Borough President Stringer, who has done an excellent job, I think that if it starts within the community, it will be successful. We don't need outside organizations telling us what to buy, what our needs are. We need the money and support from the community, from the bottom up.
We're going to run out of time in a minute. I want to get one last thought from Lucille and then one from Borough President Stringer. Lucille, have you tried to educate bodegas about
yes.
bringing in produce, and how does it go?
Yes. Well, they have the places that they go to, and so that's what they're familiar with, and they have not been as open. But if they get more people coming in and speaking to them, then it would be successful, just as your other guest has spoken.
Okay. Thank you very much, Lucille. I really appreciate you calling in. And Borough President Stringer, we have a minute left. Where does this issue go from here? I know that you cite Seattle in your report as a model of best practices. Maybe we have something to learn from them, or what happens after the release of this report?
I think that we should roll out the red carpet instead of getting these farmers markets embroiled in red tape. And I think there's a lot that we can build upon with the report that we issued. And, you know, Just Food and Karen Washington, these are leaders that should be listened to. On a broader policy issue for New York City, it really is time that we have a food and markets commissioner-level appointee by the mayor to create an education campaign and a protocol for bringing fresh produce into communities. Look how successful people have been in creating their own farmers markets, but they need help. They need to reduce their fees. They need to be able to park where the farmers market's located. They shouldn't have to put up all this money and make it even more difficult to make profit. So I think that we've touched on a very sensitive issue that is about food empowerment in communities that cry out for the same opportunity. Our report, I think, gives a roadmap to the mayor and to city officials as to what we can do to create twice as many farmers markets in the next couple of years.
Our guests have been Manhattan Borough President Scott Stringer and Karen Washington, the founder of La Familia Verde Market in the Bronx. Karen, you want to shout out the address?
Yes, we're located on Tremont Avenue between La Fontaine and Arthur Avenue. We start the second week in July. We go from Tuesdays all the way to November from 8 in the morning to 2 p.m.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you so much.
You. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, a candid call-in for anyone who has ever cheated on your taxes. We can take your calls anonymously. Start calling now, 212-433-WNYC for this morning after the tax deadline. Why did you do it? Did you read the article in the Week in Review on Sunday that said basically some people would feel like a chump if they didn't cheat on their taxes out of a sense of unfairness of, gee, isn't paying any taxes, why should I? So give us a call, 212-433-WNYC. Anonymously is fine, 212-433-WNYC. And that'll also set up our 12 noon online chat about taxes and the budget. But call us right now. Tell us when and why and how did you cheat on your taxes, 212-433-WNYC. After that, you and I have never met. Stay tuned.